Before we get into everything with my man, Eric Stein, I want to take a moment and thank one of our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Purple Mattress. Now, if you spend the night tossing and turning, you know how pain or stress could be keeping you up at night. You could wake up with a stiff neck or back pain, spending too much time on a mattress that's not giving you a good night's sleep. But that's where the Purple Mattress comes in, because if you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, you've got to try a Purple Mattress. The founders of Purple are two brothers who have been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds and wheelchairs. And in 2016, they finally decided to use their patented comfort technology to create Purple, the world's most scientific mattresses. I've seen commercials on YouTube where they drop an egg on the Purple mattress and it doesn't break. And Sis could be doing exactly that in her chicken costume as part of her punishment. And she would see that the egg does not crack on a Purple mattress. The Purple mattress will probably feel differently than anything you've ever experienced, because it uses the brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. I don't know if he travels at the speed of a light or smell or sound, but it was not like the memory foam that you're used to. The Purple material feels very unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time, so it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund, backed by a 10-year warranty with free shippings and free returns. You're going to love Purple. And right now, our listeners can get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress, in addition to all the great free gifts they're offering site-wise. Just text ROB to 84-888. The only way to get the free pillow is to text ROB to 84-888. That's ROB to 84-888. Message and data rates may apply. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Adam Berkowitz, for the Summer of Stein theme song, the most complained about podcast in all of Big Brother podcasting. And I am Rob Sestrino, back once again with the man who people clamor to see, clamor to hear every single week. But unfortunately, it's an audio podcast and it's every other week. And one time we did an episode recap instead of talking to Eric Stein. Here he is.
Rob, I think the word you were looking for is clammied to see, because it has been mighty hot here in the city. I was racing to a boy band brunch yesterday, showed up profusely sweating.
What do you mean a boy band brunch?
Well, it's exactly as it sounds. I ate French toast while watching people sing boy band songs.
When you say you watched people sing, like, is Joey Fatone there? Are there actual?
Oh, no, 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 no. It was covers of boy
karaoke?
Band songs. It was Broadway performers who formed a pseudo boy band and then performed the greatest hits. Yes. Well, he was there for sure. Listen, it wasn't great. It wasn't great. I didn't suggest the plan. And then just before we hopped on the podcast.
Are you a big boy band fan?
No, absolutely not. Not by any
stretch
to the imagination. Yeah. I do. Yes. Then perhaps a man band, a dad band is more our speed at this point that we could form. But right before this podcast as well, forget clammy. I bit into a banana and I thought to myself, this looks, this feels really soft in my mouth.
Oh, boy.
And then I looked down. Let's just say this banana, it did not look right. So if I go down anytime during this podcast and you have to, like, call the paramedics, just tell them it was the banana. That's what they should be looking for. We might need to hit pause at some point during this. I feel things moving.
Well, Eric, I'm sorry to hear about your experience with the banana. Have you considered switching your fruits?
There's really not many things better than really cold watermelon.
Have you considered maybe, say, a fruit with a hard shell?
Well, that does seem to be working for young Jackson this week, so that probably would have been a good idea. But I think my banana was closer to a one of Cliff's dangling wieners. So I think I only wish I had some fresh melon.
All right, Eric. So I'm very excited to get into everything with you because Eric will be one of our guests at our live show coming up on September 12th at the SVA Theater. Eric Stein, Caitlin Herman, Taryn Brent, and others are going to be with us in attendance as we watch Big Brother live on the night of Thursday, September 12th. There are still some tickets available. You can go to robeswebsite.com/BB21Live for that. Eric, are you excited for watching an episode of Big Brother together again?
I'm legit super excited for this. I feel like we have a killer panel, and I'm expecting a few interesting surprises as well. But I did want to pitch something to you. And I know we had agreed that we were going to leave this behind in last summer. But earlier this week, you know, you spoke with the host of the Challenge Mania podcast,
yes,
and it did
Scott
give me
Yeager.
An idea. Yes. Do you think that just like they did for their live show in New York, there's a certain guest perhaps we should reach out to spice up the panel a little bit? What if it had Taryn and Brent and Mike and Liana and Caitlin? That's right. And Rob and Eric. And we finally unite with the king of pies himself, Paulie Calafiore. What do you think?
I don't deal with drama.
Well, I did get some messages from people who were at the Challenge Mania live show at Caroline's who ran into Paulie Calafiore. Our own Matt Ligori said that he had asked him to come out to the show. I also had gotten an email from one of our listeners, Mike Kett, who said, I'm a ride or die since day one.
I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning. I see who flip-flops. I see who comes back when the times are good. I see who leaves when the times are bad.
Just wanted to know who cries more, Christy or Wamber. Stay crushing it. P.S. I was with Paulie this weekend, and he still wants to crush Eric.
Yeah, I feel stay like if... my concern was that he would stay crushing my skull if he were there.
No, we're on the same page. So, I mean, it would be great if we're in the middle of doing the show and it would be like very like Monday Night Raw if like all of a sudden it's like, oh, God, who's good God, that's Paulie Calafiore's music.
Brimstone, it's Paulie.
Anyway, Eric, my man, and then it ends with, me getting a stunner, you getting a steel chair over the head. He takes the show. Brent gets a DDT. Taryn gets a leg drop. Just like
and everyone's like, wow, this is great theater. I can't believe they managed to pull this all off. And I'm just laying with blood pouring out of my head, actually, on stage.
And then we go to credits. Yeah, it'd be a real great cliffhanger, not a cliff hogger at the end of the episode. Very exciting stuff. So
I'm not entirely opposed to it. You know, we can talk offline more about this.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to get a tombstone.
I think that, yeah, in more ways than one. The only thing is, he is not that large, you know, in real life. I think bare minimum, we might be able to scurry away, although he has shown a lot in the endurance challenges on the challenge. So he's probably a good amount faster than us.
Yeah, but if we run in different directions, one of us will hopefully.
We stop for a rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to sacrifice ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So that's going to be very exciting coming up on the night of September 12th. Also very exciting. I know there were a lot of shout outs for you on this past Thursday night, Eric, because I know a lot of people were excited during the HOH competition to hear you get shouted out once again on Big Brother. Here's Julie explaining this week's HOH competition.
On my go, you will fill your mug with beer from the barrel at the top of your lane, slide down your lane, and deposit your beer in the giant stein at the other end. The first house guest to fill their stein to the point that they can remove their ping pong ball will become the new head of household.
Eric, have you been filled to the point where people can remove their ping pong ball?
More than once, my friend. and the funny thing is, you know, I couldn't spoil this the last time we had a Summer of Stein, but, you know, we were talking about how could I possibly have been left out of the Galaxy Veto competition, you know, with so many iconic past house guests. You know, we were speculating I may have fallen behind Meg Malley on the depth charts, but no, it's because they were saving me to do an entire HOH competition based on me. And yes, I knew that at the time. I just couldn't tip it off, you know?
Okay. How many mentions did you end up getting about being the giant stein?
Oh, easily four. Yeah. the internet was popping with it. And I will say, somewhere within the production room, I'd like to think that this was a very, 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 very quiet shout out to me, because otherwise I think they could have used the term mug probably.
Right. You know, I agree.
It was the more popular terminology. But, you know, God forbid they plaster my face on these steins, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, Eric, way back when we were in the darkest times of Big Brother 21, you preached, you know, keep on feeding the positive and keep on looking for the good in this season. And I think by all accounts, the season has done, if not a full 180, definitely a 90. To end up being a lot more palatable to most of the viewers. How are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling really good about the season. I'm having fun with it. I love that it's a wide open game. And I definitely think we've gotten on track. Now, there are some reasons probably that it improved. A lot of the things that we like really hated early on, they couldn't even possibly be situations anymore. But if we just kind of like have a break in the timeline and it was, you know, like pre and post, I feel like the, you know, post camp comeback life, we're living a good life in the Big Brother house.
Okay. So, Eric, in terms of the state of the house right now, we are in the midst of a Jackson HOH, and I do think that we will
Jackson, sorry to interrupt you, but Jackson, who I don't know if you know this, is otherwise known by his last name sometimes, Mickey.
I mean, Jack
Julie
is gone.
Willing to die on that sword. Yeah,
why is that still a thing?
I have a theory about this. I think that perhaps we're going to get the story that Jackson Mickey, he was a part of the problematic situations that almost got himself and the show canceled early on. But is it a possibility that in true Big Brother soap opera telenovela fashion that now we actually have Mickey Jackson playing instead of Jackson Mickey? And we're going to later find out that he has literally switched into a different person, his good twin, so to speak. And, you know, like one likes watermelons, one doesn't. This one doesn't wet himself after 45 minutes. You know, he doesn't try and break up with people for not having sex on camera with him.
This is a different guy.
I theorize, right, that they replaced Jackson Mickey with Mickey Jackson.
Yeah, it's like a bizarro Superman situation.
Yeah, and that's why she's just so adamant. Like, no, no, no.
That was Jackson. This is Mickey.
That was Jackson. Yeah, don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted. Okay, so he is the HOH. I do not know if we will be able to do this podcast without talking about the results of the veto competition. So let me just put a little bit of a spoiler warning here. Okay, if you need to come back to Eric and I on Wednesday night, then I'm afraid that is going to have to be the way that we do it this week. And so we will have to, do you see any other alternative to talk about the direction of the house?
No, I think we got to dive in head first.
I think we got to. So we got to be able to talk about the power of veto. I'll give you another 5 seconds or so to get out of here if you need to. But all right. So Jackson holds the power of veto as well. And it looks as though Christie is going to be the preeminent favorite to go home on Thursday night, Eric. How do you feel about the state of things with losing Christie potentially this week?
I think that Christie's time has come and gone. I think this is the perfect time to lose Christie in the game. It's very interesting to me. I was thinking about this, and I think one of the issues I have been having with the season is most seasons, they have those iconic breakout characters, whether they're game players or characters. Last season, you think back on Big Brother 20 and you think this was Tyler's season. You had JC, you had Caitlin, you had some really memorable people. Now, Big Brother 19 was Paul's season, but whose season is this season? And it's somewhat been Christie's to this point, but she doesn't pop in quite the same way. But I think with the cast out from under her thumb, we're going to get much better gameplay. But as we sit here on Monday afternoon, I wonder, we heard a lot of people worried about Christie's sister's life because she's been swearing on her life in the game. But I thought about it and I was wondering, could this possibly be some chess instead of checkers? Is it possible that Christie is actually swearing on Sis's life in the game?
Okay. So I don't know if I don't want to get fall into the Big Brother 21 fake news spiral.
Fake news.
But I did see some talk on Twitter about whether or not Christie even has a sister.
Well, I would like that, but I feel like that we would get that as a segment if she did not have a sister and was, you know, she'd go full Matt Hoffman at that point, and we'd be hearing all about how she's swearing on a fake sister, which honestly, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
Or a fake spouse or something along those lines. Like, I'm just doing it for the family. Just don't even have a family. I like that as a play.
No, I think she must really have a sister because I think that would be even bigger of a story. I did like that her dog is posting on her Instagram as chronicled on the RHAP B&B. Did you follow that?
I heard about it on the show, and it did occur to me that there could be a potential meetup or kinship with her dog and baby Dino, the dog. Oh. So I do think that I'll be reaching out from the Big D. And yeah, exactly. And then fill up a stein and away we go.
Giant stein. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, Christie as a character has brought a lot of drama, but yes, she's not rootable. I don't find that anybody is a Christie fan.
No, I really don't think so. The thing is, I think she's a relatively good player. She seems like a really great bullshit artist. I mean, we saw a couple times this week her lay it on, and you would think that this is like a real classic Big Brother game of talk mad shit behind people's backs and to their face, like, whoa, she can make someone feel like they are good friends with her quickly. And I bet you this is someone who is actually pretty charming in real life, and she's used to getting away with a lot of troublemaking and stuff. But the problem is she's definitely not someone who's likable. She's been playing ahead all game, and really, it's never a good look when you control everything. You're totally cool with that. And then as soon as you do not control things, you are not cool with
it.
You know, it's classic, classic bully syndrome. As soon as things don't go her way, it's just a bad look. You know, that never works in Big Brother or life. And, you know, she thinks that she's more deserving. She's the good people. She's everything we hate about Big Brother tropes. But I bet you Christie is probably good people once out of the house, back on the exits of Jersey. But it's not working for her there. And I think it's good that her time is going to end. I also don't like people who play heavily with such emotional manipulation. It's not fun to watch. It just makes people feel badly inside and outside of the house. I'd be hard pressed. I was thinking about this, though. I mean, there's a lot of characters who must have basically no fans whatsoever, right? I mean, I can't imagine too many people are you know, really diehard Nick fans. You know, I don't think you're going to find on the I don't think you're going to find on the forums, you know, like the Sistine Chaplers or something like that. I just, there's just not that many rootable people, and Christy is probably right atop that list. I mean, she's fine. She's fine. She's played a decent game. This is about the trajectory we were expecting.
This is a fun game, I think. Let's go through the remaining house guests, and let's say yes, yay or nay. Do they have 10 fans? Do they have 10 fans? Yes or no? Okay.
That's going to be a short list.
Okay. So, Christy. Start with Christy.
I would say no.
Okay.
How about you?
Yeah. I think that she had a lot of goodwill from her HOH week. But I think at this point we were back.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of guilty by association also, you know, this summer. People can't forget where we came from. She was fully on Team Jack. We know how the show feels about that narrative. I think she's basically got her dog. She's got Tommy's aunt, maybe. That's probably about it at this point.
Okay. So I don't want to get it twisted. Okay. We are not talking about like their relatives and their family. They all still love them. So, okay. So don't, I don't want to get complaints like, hey, that's my brother and I'm one of his fans and there's five other people in my family. And so that's at least six. So,
and don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'll be throwing the welcome home Christy party in about, you know, 6 weeks. Don't at me and tell me, I thought you weren't her fan. Why are you getting a beer with her? Totally separate situation. Okay. I am not her fan and I will still get a beer with her.
Okay. So no on Christy to 10 fans. Okay. And Jess?
Absolutely not. I think she actually is headed down a path to finishing 16th out of 16 in popularity.
Whoa.
She is offering nothing for no. And when we last spoke on the episode recap, you know, she's emerging as Queen Jessica, fighter of Chilltown, making power moves. And boy, did that ship sail and crash quickly. Holy moly.
Hey, Jess, it's 16 out of 16 on Joker's update calling. They can't wait to see you.
If she couldn't have gone down a worse path, it was her bizarre targeting of Nicole for absolutely no reason whatsoever. I mean, but last night, I got to say, everyone says she's a really atrocious player, but watching the episode last night, she knew exactly what she was doing when she went and started this girl-on-girl violence, spreading rumors. I mean, this was like a Big Brother history lesson in why it is that these alliances that are very female-centric don't work, because someone like Jess is always going to pull this shit to try and come between the people, members of the alliance. But guess what? It was effective. She got people fighting and really pissed at each other. And so long as they're targeting each other, they're not targeting her. So I'm wondering if we've been sleeping on some subtle manipulations that she's been doing. That said, I don't care what she's doing from a game standpoint. Highly unentertaining, terrible alignment in the game. Really bad, really bad.
All right. Nick, does Nick have 10 fans?
Well, I think that you and I are both pretty big Nick fans.
We are?
Well, I've enjoyed your impersonation of him, if nothing else.
Yeah.
No, Nick, absolutely not. I've actually... Nick,
no!
I've gotten several past house guests texting me about how much they just can't stand him. He seems to really bring out the vitriol in people also. I mean, because you can't even understand what he's there for, how he made it through the casting process. I mean, we talk about this always, that as a player, you should be looking for how someone got on the show, and that'll clue you in. Are they there for their looks? Are they there for their brains? Are they there for their humor? What's Nick there for?
Yeah, I don't know. On a related note, John Tinkham wants to know, has Eric been able to get the oofometer repaired since Nick declared himself as funny in the HOH room a couple of weeks ago? What did you think about that? Funny Nick.
Oof is right. Oh, man, that was just...
Since I landed on Haley's Comet, it's only right for me to tell you how ravishing you look today.
Why, thank you, but I need you to cast your vote, please.
I'm funny. I vote to Vic Jack.
You know, as I'm sure they taught you in the first day of Communications 101 in school, or maybe at the podcast conference you were just at, it's never good to tell people that you're something. You know, we're taught to show and not tell.
Right.
And, you know, if you need to explain a joke, that's probably not great either. I mean, it was painfully awkward. And last summer, we famously thought about what our life would look like if Caitlin was our life coach. And this has manifested itself into a wonderful relationship outside the house.
The best.
And this week, all I keep thinking is, what if Nick was my therapist?
Yeah.
What would that look like? And we got a glimmer and glimpse into this in the last episode. And I just kept thinking, like, as I'm pouring my heart out to him and telling him my problems, he's just, yo, man.
Here, listen. This is Nick.
As a therapist, sometimes you gotta just sit back, listen, give a couple head nods, say okay, and just keep letting them talking.
Eric, okay, so tell me about your problems. Just lay back on the couch. Just don't worry. I'm just going to put my foot right over here. Just don't pay any attention to what I'm doing over here with my foot. Do you like that, Eric? Okay, tell me about what's going on in your life.
Maybe you could loop in Nicole now, and she can have people draw their feelings in the office and he can analyze their drawings.
Let me look at your drawing. Okay, that looks like a Pegasus.
My favorite part about Nick's recent story arc is that he is simultaneously so very aggressively creepy, but also doing pretty well for himself with his flirtations. You know, it's like you get locked. I'm living proof of this. You lock people in a house long enough with limited options. And and eventually it's just like you just kind of cave in, you know. So it's like he kind of reminds me of, I remember thinking on Big Brother 15, boy, Judd is really out kicking his coverage here, you know, with Jesse and Aaron and these and Nick. I'm thinking whatever it is he's doing with Bella and Tommy and Sis and Kat and whatever else, you know, nobody's maced him yet. They're somewhat laying with him and reciprocating. It looks like he might conceivably canoodle with Tommy and or Sis. So in some bizarre way, this is actually working for him, and I do not think it would in the outside world.
Let me tell you who Nick is. That Nick is the guy at the bar who's like, I don't care if I could strike out 100 times. All I need is one yes, and he is going to go up to every single person at that bar, and he is going to throw his pitch.
Right. Semisonic is playing, closing time.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yes.
And he just literally goes around, all right, who's coming with me? And until someone says yes.
So he's going to put it out there. That's his thing.
Oh, also, yes, he is.
I would also, I don't know what you can do with this, Eric, but if you rearrange the letters of the word foot, you can get to oof.
I like this. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So no 10 fans for Nick. That's three.
Absolutely not.
Sis, does Sis have 10 fans?
No chance in the world. But
see, there are some.
I'm glad
guys.
You mentioned this.
Yeah.
I'm going to plant my flag right now. I am. I she's been totally off my radar all season. As of last night, I am standing Sis. She's my new favorite on the show.
New favorite on the show. Yeah. She had a good
all time great line last night. I just don't feel like myself. I feel like a chicken.
Yeah.
Incredible. Not for nothing. Back in first grade, I actually wrote an essay called Sometimes I Feel Like a Fly. And they sent me to the school psychiatrist because they were concerned I was having issues with my size. And
you would grow up to be a giant Stein.
That's right. And I one time fought a giant fly instead of keeping my current relationship. But I loved this like deep analysis by her. That she didn't describe what this meant. It's just like, she actually morphed into a chicken. It was incredible. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. And also, I heard on the Morning Update the other day that apparently she's had some struggles with Shakespeare in the past. And this was just cracking me up. And I really think that you should look into doing like interstitial 1 minute videos with her, doing Shakespeare when she's out of the house. You could do the Tempsis, Julius Caesar, the Merchant of Vensis, Romeo and Sis. Yeah. I feel like these would be iconic. From Move Over Haley, we know she did the punishment last time, but I mean, Sis's take on Shakespeare, if we could just do like a drunk history where she recaps the plots for us as perhaps a chicken, maybe she boxed them, but I am here for everything that Sis is bringing in these episodes. I mean, she should be counting her blessings. They think that they were, I mean, this wasn't a Dodo edit. This was a Sis's coming out party. This was her best episode by far.
Yeah, biggest episode of the season. We got so much from Sis last night. My favorite was when we talked about the days getting shorter. Let me play this clip for you, and then we can weigh in on Sis talking about how the days are getting shorter around here.
Wait, the days are getting shorter? What do you mean?
Yeah, we're past the summer solstice. Days progressively get shorter from the summer solstice to the winter solstice. So every single day. Yeah, all year long. So we're in here on the longest day of the year.
Well, that's good. That means 10 will come sooner.
Yeah.
Daylight-wise.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did she say 10 or time will come sooner?
I think 10. I think they were waiting for something. Maybe she got out of her chicken suit. Oh, maybe 10.
Were they getting like an alcohol delivery?
Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely iconic. And I've heard people, you know, they shouted out maybe a raven, possibly like a Victoria. But I'm going in a totally opposite direction with that edit. If they can stick down this path for the remainder of the season, we found a new Jordan Lloyd.
Yeah,
I love it. I love it. Her sense of time, her sense of grammar. It's so good. And, you know, from a game standpoint, not for nothing, what could be a better ally than someone who is loyal to a fault and dumber than a chicken? I mean, she was the perfect teammate for this show.
And they explained it to her. She got the explanation. This was Sis reacting to learning it's not time.
I wish it was time.
It starts making weird noises. Like the Little Mermaid. that was incredible. They also, I felt like, really hung her out to dry in the closing confessional of the episode, where, yeah, as we like to do, you know, you want to talk some smack about the person that nominated you at the end of the episode. This is what Sis had to say.
I feel very blindsided right now, and I also feel just really upset, I guess.
As they lingered on her, as she was going to say something else or give us another thought.
They were like, this is what we've been working with all summer, guys. You want to know why she hasn't been in an episode yet? But the thing is, I actually found it to be legitimately sad. Not sad for her place in the game. Everyone's going to have to get nominated at some point, and she had it coming. But it was sad how sad she was, because she didn't seem angry in the same way that maybe Christy was, or she didn't seem to be game, you know, motivated. She just seemed like she was going to legitimately cry at the ceremony and in the diary room, but not, I don't think from a game standpoint, just from a simpleton standpoint. She just seemed like, you know, this sad little deer in the woods that is just being slowly murdered. And I am now all here for Sis. I'm rooting for her the rest of the way.
Yeah, she was incredible. A transcendent night for Sis. Then also, this was another gem, I think, that got lost. There was so much Sis content from Sunday night. But so she had to cook eggs for everybody. We had to see the punishment. And Sis, cook eggs sunny side up. Sis, cook eggs Florentine. And then Sis gave us this gem in the diary room.
I really have no idea how to make any of these, so if they ask me to make eggplant, I'm really screwed.
Well, I very much enjoy that. I am going to, you know, have to call a spade here. That was a line read for sure. No doubt about it. They fed it to her. You could tell because she had way more pizzazz. If she was actually speaking, there's no way that would have come out of her that quickly.
Yeah, but... does she like it just seemed like the delivery on that made me feel like does she not know that eggplant is not an egg dish?
I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit here. We had a food competition back in the day and we competed for sweetbreads, and they asked me in the diary room. So, Eric, like, tell me, were you excited to get sweetbreads? And I was like, no, why would I be excited? Like, and it, I described what they were and I was like, no, that's just disgusting. And then they were like, ah, screw you, Eric. We're not going to use that. We'll just ask someone who doesn't actually know what they are. And then they went around the house, asked everyone about the sweetbreads. And then lo and behold, in the episode is someone like, oh, we got donuts and cinnamon buns and all the sweetbreads. And then like dodo music, because that is not what sweetbreads are.
Yeah, I don't know what a sweetbread is, to be honest.
Yeah, some sort of like, organ or animal, you know. Now I actually don't remember anymore, but I knew at the time. And but the fact is, the matter is, it really reeked of that to me. They were like running through eggs in the diary room with her, and they were like, what about eggplant? That would be funny. And she's like, yeah, okay, great.
Here, let me hear that again. Let me see if there's any sort of hint that she knows that this is a joke.
I really have no idea how to make any of these, so if they ask me to make eggplant, I'm really screwed.
Yeah, it's a line read.
But I know it's like it's a line read. But my question is, does she know eggplant does not? I mean, you would imagine she's used the eggplant emoji. So you would think she would know what that looks like, right? Right?
Yeah. I do think that you would.
It's a weenie.
It could be. Yeah. I mean, she does not strike me as someone who does a lot of cooking. And she doesn't strike me as someone who knows all that much. So, no, I would say she probably does not know that eggplant is not an egg dish, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm not coming for Sis anymore. I'm rooting for Sis. So it's fine. She's young. She's going to learn these things still. There's still time. Imagine how smart she's going to be when she comes back for All Stars.
So are we shipping Sis and Nick at all? Are you rooting for that couple to get together, as they have been, has been reported on the different live feed updates? So there's been some canoodling going on. Nick definitely from the jump, you know, has had the crush on Sis.
Then their couple name could be Sick. So I'm in on that.
Yes, I like that. Eric, did you happen to catch this week the saga of we have Big Brother After Dark Orwell can be a little shady on Twitter. Tweeted this video and potentially posted it on Instagram. This was the video that they're talking about to get people to watch Big Brother After Dark. Let me play this for you.
We interrupt your scrolling with breaking news. The Twitterverse is all a buzz after BB Bella dumped her BB boyfriend in the nick of time. Allegedly, Nick was seen canoodling live on cam with his side chick Sis.
I like to watch what my friends are doing.
Well, apparently so does Bella, who's reportedly devastated over the actions of her boyfriend of 15 minutes. This has been a Breaking Up News Update.
Whoa. And then Bella tweeted to Orwell, is this necessary?
I actually side with Bella on this. That was a low blow, Orwell.
Yeah.
I look at all of the magical relationships that have come from the Big Brother house. You know, sometimes those 15 minutes can last a lifetime. So, but I do think we're going to see a never before seen thing in Big Brother history. I think we're going to have several recouplings while the season is still going on. I think we are going to hear that Jack and Kat have been enjoying themselves in the jury house.
Oh boy.
As has been well documented, they could not possibly fill a week with conversation. They have to pass the time somehow.
You think right? The awkward silence will happen too early?
Yeah, let's just say Jackson will not be the only one living on his knees in the Big Brother universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I do think that they will get to know each other in a different way in the jury house. And I also think
to live on my knees.
That's right. I think that there's a good possibility that we could see Nick and Sis or Nick and Tommy emerge. And I think or possibly even both. We already have had Jackson with two different couples on the season. I think that there's going to be a lot of trading still to go. I mean, we have a good solid, 5 weeks left or so, right? There's a lot of coupling still to be done.
Yeah. It'll be interesting, the Bella and Nick thing, when we get to the finale, because, Nick will go further down the cis road, and then that could potentially be super awkward if they sort of come out as a couple, or it could also be very awkward if Nick comes out of the house assuming everything is good with Bella, not knowing that he's been dumped, and then be like waiting for Bella to leap into her arms and the equivalent of her throwing a drink in his face at the live show.
I think that that seems super likely. What's wrong, Bella?
Yo, chill. I don't even understand where you're coming from with this.
I wonder, maybe they are all actually playing like 3D next level chess, not checkers. And now people are actually coming into the house looking for the X on the beach spot. Forget staging fake things on Instagram. Yeah. Why do that when you could actually get together and break up?
You know, I ran into Marlena in person last week.
Whoa, how is that?
Yeah, it's exciting.
I'm so glad to hear these crazy kids work this out. That's shocking. I would have never guessed. This is maybe we could end up with Nick and Bella and Jack and Sis on a future season.
Yeah. Viacom CBS merger is already paying dividends. It's all happening. OK,
boy, if I were Festy, I'd be working out for the next season of the challenge.
Eric, let's talk about Jackson. We got a lot of questions about Jackson after last night. And so, again, this is a huge Jackson episode as well. Do you want to talk about Jackson's turnaround? One of the most unlikely character turnarounds in Big Brother history. I'd probably say dating back to Beast Mode Cowboy.
Oh, absolutely. One of the most unlikely.
Are two Survivor stints coming up in the future for Jackson?
I what I really wonder is, somewhere along the line, they had to choose, who are we going to throw under the bus here, right? And was it going to be whoever got out of the house first? Like, if Jackson was evicted 2 weeks ago, were they going to lay into Jackson, or was he always the golden boy and Jack was always the one that we were going to pin this on?
Right. So imagine like an alternate universe where it was, if you're Jackson, you gotta go back to when he was up on the block with, Jack's son, AKA also known as Mickey. And then Jack's son won the veto there. In an alternate universe where he doesn't win the veto, just gets voted out there, does he end up taking the brunt of that? Or if he wins the veto in that spot, does things change around?
I really do think so. I mean, I'm uncomfortable with his emergence as a hero. And listen, I get it. As a viewer, I'm rooting for whatever makes the show interesting. We need people who are strong to come after characters that we don't want there. We need trade-offs of power, and he is providing that. And I actually don't even think he's bad at this game. But by rooting for him now, it's such a short-sighted memory that, like, we're swearing off everything that happened earlier in the season, and I just don't feel that great about that. So, yes, he is getting a killer edit now. Why, though, that they decide to do this, I'm not entirely sure. And I, as everyone's saying, we're all finding ourselves begrudgingly pulling for him now, and he has been amusing, but they are working overtime to find these cute, charming little segments of his and, you know, I'm an American hero type of stuff to make him rootable, because there was plenty of stuff that was not rootable about him.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was his plan all along.
Playing chess and not checkers.
Yeah.
See, that is interesting. So he was despicable for a month just so he could blindside the audience and have a turnaround later in the season.
That's right.
Hey, I'm not actually that bad, guys.
You didn't see coming. Okay. This is a question from Jocelyn, who says, do you think Jackson actually knows how to play chess?
You know, interestingly enough, I know how to play chess, but I don't know how to play checkers.
Yeah.
Okay. So I take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. All right.
Also, is he really playing chess? This is one of my biggest objections to him saying this over and over again. He put up two people that were directly turning on him and coming after him. Yeah. How is that playing chess? That is just the most singularly obvious and most straightforward move you could possibly do in this situation. Hmm. You know, if he's talking about if he had some sort of foresight or was looking 3 weeks in the future or setting up a future move, or maybe he was planning on backdooring someone. But just putting up your two targets, that's not high level strategy. That's just doing what anyone would do in the situation.
Yeah. He may not know how to play either game. That's possible.
Yes, I think it's safe to say he does not.
Yeah. Okay. Force of Will wants to know, would Gallagher coming into the house and smashing all of Jackson's watermelons be great punishment or the greatest punishment of all time? And how many oofs is Nick and Bella right now? That's from Force of Will. Eric, how great would that be if then, you know, there was some sort of, like, we could get some sort of a Pandora's box where Jackson is able to peer into a room filled to the ceiling with watermelons, and he chooses to open the door. But what he doesn't realize is that he's actually unlocked a punishment in which Gallagher is coming in to smash all his watermelons.
Yes! What a life you lead here in the Big Brother house.
This is just fantastic to envision, because I have so many questions about this. Now, first of all, we have to keep in mind, I'm pretty sure they propped Gallagher up before they started that. I don't think he walked out on stage. I think he was there. Keep in mind, they had to pre-cut his melons into quarters. You know, he's not as strong as he once was. So watching him work through a room full, this is going to be a long, long segment. But also, I wonder, you see, this is pitting them as natural enemies, but is it possible they'd actually bond over their shared love of watermelons? You know, do you think that they are natural enemies, or do you think that they're actually on the same side of the watermelon argument? I mean, would we have Jackson crying on the floor, like scraping up every last drop? Like, if someone drops their ice cream, he's like licking it off the asphalt.
Right. We see a scenario where Gallagher, like, maybe, you know, when that they used to have at Gallagher shows, you would sit there and put like the giant plastic tarp on. You would, like, Jackson just stand in front of the literal chopping block with the watermelon in front of him, Gallagher smashes it, and Jackson just stands there with his mouth open.
It's really too bad that we actually are not involved in production for the show, because if they actually did this as a bait and switch, as you described, and he thought he was just getting some sort of reward of like, glorious melons.
Like Rachel thinks she's going to go see Brendan. No, actually, that's not what's going to happen. Everybody else is going to, you know, he's going to watch a video of Gallagher smashing all the watermelons.
Right. And they probably look at the Gallagher segment as one that did not go well for them, not knowing what a gold mine it actually was, you know. So if they only had us consulting, they would know. They could bring him out and he could just diabolically cackle his catchphrase over and over again. Each smash. What a life, Willie. No. Why? Why, Gallagher? Who are you? Why are you here? Then out comes JC. He scoops them up, puts them right into the beef sauce. Someone slips on a shrimp. Kato is in the audience, like clapping it up. This could be like a really bad, like fever dream of some sort.
Kyle Whipple wants to know, who's destroyed more watermelons in their life, Jackson or Gallagher? Do you want to have a running total on this? I mean, Gallagher has been at it since the 70s, but Jackson doesn't take any days off from housing the watermelons.
Yeah, I mean, who knew that he was forecasting what would later come to be on the season during that premiere episode in which they showed this bizarre exchange? I remember us discussing this at the time, saying, what a weird way to present the new bromance by talking about watermelon in the first episode.
Here it is. I'll give it to you.
All right, this is where the magic happens right here.
Tell me, is there bruise in there?
Oh, yes, dude.
Watermelon.
I literally eat like one or two whole watermelons a day.
Yeah, he was right. He literally does.
Right. And I you have Jack who's like, oh, yeah, there's beer in here. And he's like, no.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, production news. This was the thing. This is like when Frankie used to get the high quality, seafood himself by request or whatever. That's how you know Jackson's the golden boy. As soon as they cut off they're not giving him honeydew. You know, if the melon supply ever ends, we know they've turned on Jackson. But I assure you, I live there. We did not have this many watermelons inside of the house.
Yeah. Okay. Well, maybe is watermelon a sponsor? Is that product placement?
There's really not many things better than really cold watermelon.
Maybe Big Melon, is like somehow controlling the show. And that's why, Big Brother's like has no choice but to give him a favorable edit because he's going to come out with a huge deal of some sort.
Okay. So we had last night a lot of talk about all of Jackson's expressions. And Eric, I thought of you when they were setting up this montage.
Oh, Mickey and his sayings. I've started calling them Jacksonologies. How does he have so many of these? He has a Rolodex of idioms.
Okay. Now, how telling was that this was a 100% scripted line by Holly?
Oh, yes, for sure. Holly does not have a Rolodex like we do.
And she says the word like she has not ever heard of this thing and has no idea what this is.
He has a Rolodex of idioms.
A Rolodex. Yes.
Oh, yes. Trust me. That was not lost to me. Nor was the fact.
Like you.
That,
you've talked about your Rolodex many times this season.
Right. I mean, how do you think that I contact, Monica from season 2 for live events in New York? It's not from my cell phone contacts, it's from my Rolodex, as she said. But also, super not convincing that she called him Mickey, and even less convincing that she has coined the term Jacksonologies. Yes. Yeah, that sounds like something she would
say.
This
was something that we're going to see in a month and a half from now on the recap of the recap when they're sitting around the table with the bottle of champagne.
Oh, Mickey and his sayings. I've started calling them Jacksonologies. How does he have so many of these? He has a Rolodex of idioms.
Of idioms.
Yeah, there is definitely a Rolodex of idiots in the house. That's for sure. I'm actually shocked that this wasn't pushed into the recap of the recap with Detective Derek Levasseur there. They're having some watermelons for brunch. And it's like one thing that I uncovered as I explored the Big Brother house was some Jacksonologies. You see, it would have been a lot more suited for that.
It would have come from an outsider. Maybe Kato Kalin can come in last season was Mark McGrath. I'm getting confused. Was that on the celebrity version or that was on Big Brother 20?
I feel like that had to be on Celebrity, right?
Yeah.
They live in their own worlds, I think.
Yeah, it's their own world. Okay. But anyway, so, all right, we got a bunch of them. We've talked about the...
Playing chess and not checkers.
And...
I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees.
Eric, do you have a favorite Jackson expression?
Oh, man. I hate all of them so much, but I love them also. I don't have a personal favorite. I will say, and I don't mean to defend him, that, you know, sometimes you do DRs with different story producers. And so he probably is just going through the same sort of scenarios over and over again. So maybe, you know, he just throws it in once per time, but it definitely was not. I remember watching my episodes and I said a couple of things very, very often, but it's almost as if they, if I said it seven times total during the summer, they showed all seven times, you know, it's just, so I do think he has some fallbacks that he goes back to, but it might not be that bad? Nah, it's probably no, it's that a, bad. I don't know why I'm defending it. It's a lot worse.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these things were tropes from the live feeds before they were like things that were in the episodes all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're totally right. I don't even know why I tried to defend this, man. No, I don't have a favorite. I don't like them at all. You know, I would rather hear Sis Bach all episode.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to Sis, because we have a voicemail about Sis from a great friend of the podcast, our own host of the Love Island Rehab Up, Kirsten McInnes, has a question for you about Sis. Well, she's Kirsten McInnes. Sis.
Hey, Robin, Eric, it's Kirsten. And my question for you is about Annalise. There have been a lot of embarrassing facts about her lately, such as the idea that she maybe doesn't shower earlier in the season, the nouns, adjectives, and verbs situation. And now she doesn't understand how the hours in the day work. So my question to you is, which one of these things is the most embarrassing? Would love to hear your thoughts.
Okay. Bye. Eric, if you had to come up with what's the most embarrassing fact about Sis, and we haven't really explored that too much. So supposedly Sis has BO. That's been talked about on the live feeds. I think even Nick, who you would think that almost nothing would be a turnoff to Nick. He has commented that Sis occasionally suffers from the body odor, then maybe even the HBO.
Yeah, this is bad. I think that's the worst. I do think that is the worst because you hear about that on Survivor, right?
Yeah.
And that limits the showmancing on Survivor. People's hygiene is a little bit off, but you have nothing but time in the Big Brother house. Also, she's a 21-year-old girl. Like, hasn't she ever been to Bath and Body Works, a Victoria's Secret? She doesn't. Doesn't she have a body spray? If she doesn't have one, everybody else in the house has one. Pick one up and spray it. Use some deodorant. This is a bizarre problem. It is very, very unbecoming. I will actually list that as the number one.
I don't think it's close. I was going to say that the other two, I mean, you and I have talked about how the other two are cute or even endearing, that she doesn't know how daylight savings time works or doesn't know the different participles of speech. And maybe I don't. I don't know if I'm using that word right, but either way.
I liked it. Yeah. Going backwards, by the way, back in time here, what's the reverse of a segue? But whatever that is, to go back to the Jacksonologies for a second.
Yes.
I wanted to know if you yourself had any terminology that you find yourself using over and over again on the podcast, because people always call me out on using certain terminology. I was one of the original at the end of the dayers on the show. Mm-hmm. I was definitely in, there's truth be told and things like that. Are there any fallback phrases that you use that you catch yourself saying over and over again?
I don't really catch myself saying them, but occasionally they'll come up on Twitter where people say, like, you ever notice that Rob says this all the time? You ever notice that Rob says this all the time? So I don't even want to like shine a spotlight on what they are, Eric.
If you were going to give wisdom, like a Jacksonology, do you have any of that to dispense, you know, since we are elder statesmen of the reality community?
Do I have a Rolodex of idioms?
Yeah, yeah. One that came to mind for me, and then I couldn't get it out of my head because it was the corniest dad joke imaginable, is I kept thinking about Sis saying, you can't break an omelet. You can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. I can't even get it right myself.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get it out of my head last night. And then I couldn't think of any other idioms. And I feel like I use a lot of them. But once I had the chickens and the eggs going in my head, I just couldn't get past it.
Yeah. Okay. So Sis having the BO, that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem she's got, because I think she'll be able to get through life being dumb. I think that she could do that. But getting through life being smelly, I think that that's going to be difficult for her.
Yeah, that does offset some of her, you know, her more positive traits.
She'll be fine on Instagram.
Right, right, right. Yes, you can't, unless, you know, remember Mr. Rogers, he had like a, I might be making this up, I feel like he had a smell-o-vision at some point.
That does not sound right. That does not sound right.
That doesn't sound right.
Yo, I really don't know where. Tell me about your dream that you had about Mr. Rogers and the smell of vision.
Maybe this was like a joke I would tell when I was like 4 years old about him taking off his shoes and it them smelling right. But what if Instagram? It doesn't sound right. Like a scratch and sniff. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it probably won't affect her looks that much. But it's not great. I did have someone in the house with me who never showered ever and would claim that taking a little dip in the pool was just as good. It's not as good. There's no soap in the pool. There's no shampoo in the pool. You're not scrubbing yourself in the pool. And if you are scrubbing your dirt off in the pool, that's disgusting. And I don't appreciate that.
Would you rather be somebody who is dumb as a box of rocks, but smells good? Or would you rather smell bad and be a genius? Unfortunately for Sis, it sounds like that she has the worst of both worlds here.
Well, yes, this is interesting, but you left out like a third option, right?
Yeah.
I am relatively smart and
good and smell bad, I guess. Would you rather be drop dead gorgeous and smell bad, or be ugly and smell good?
Exactly, because I am plenty smart and smell plenty good, and it's done absolute spit for me in life.
Even with all the clamminess?
I'm prepared for it. You know, I know what happens to me on these streets. But here's the thing. I do think that there could be something that you said for just being hot and, you know, ignorance is bliss, Rob. So if I could take hot and fresh smelling, that might go somewhere. Hot and smelly, they kind of like counteract a little bit, you know, so she could be heading down a smelly path, possibly.
Okay. Eric, before we go any further, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the Summer of Stein. And of course, it's not just the Summer of Stein. Summer is the time to relax and enjoy the best in life. And you can do it right from the comfort of your own home with Joybird Furniture. Don't tell Nicole about Joybird Furniture, or tell her, because it's not involving a real bird. Joybird empowers you to create furniture and space that brings you joy and keeps those summer vibes flowing all year long. And Erica, you could keep the summer vibes going without the heat.
Yeah, that
perfect
would be good
for you.
Yeah, I like it.
Because with Joybird, here's what you get to do. You can create one-of-a-kind furniture crafted to your own unique taste. You could turn your ideas into reality with hundreds of styles and options. Joybird offers a range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options, perfect for Dino the dog, so that your creations could stand the test of time, with free personal design consultations to help you nail down your perfect design. Because each Joybird piece is made by hand with care and precision, using high quality hard wood and responsibly sourced materials to fit your exact specifications, with a limited lifetime warranty included. You can customize the furniture to exactly what you're looking for, to match the exact decor that you're looking for. Eric, if you want to like go for match your camp decor, whatever you have going on.
It sounds amazing.
I know how much you like interior design.
And I bet it smells amazing.
Always, always. A 365-day home trial, which those days do not get shorter just because of the solstice. Skip the furniture store and bring the showroom home. Sit on it, sleep on it, break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return it. Free returns within 2 weeks of delivery. See how Joybird can help you design your dream space. Make your furniture your own at joybird.com/Rob. Create the furniture that brings you joy today at joybird.com/Rob. Go to joybird.com/Rob and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Rob. Okay, so let's talk about Cliff. I don't talk too much about what's going on with your dad, Cliff.
First of all, let me just say, I love Cliff. I think it's so much fun watching him play. I think he's playing really well. I love how he's thrown himself into the experience that, and he's getting to do this. I just wanted to clarify that because the last couple times we talked, I've been in a really like nerding out deep dive on strategy. And we've talked a lot about this one decision point that he had in the game as HOH weeks ago. That does not change my feelings towards my dad. I am rooting for him. I'm rooting for him as America's favorite player. I can't wait to talk to him afterwards. So I just wanted to make that clear that just because I was being hard on him, okay, I think he will appreciate the honest assessment of the situation. I am still very much on Team Hog here. So I am excited to talk about my dad. So I just wanted to put that out there. That's okay. Right.
Still a Cliffomaniac.
Cliffomaniacs.
Okay. All right. But Schmerick Schmein wants to know, Eric, since you were critical of Cliff when he made that deal during his HOH, sounds like the deal is paying off huge as others want to include him in alliances and deals. People trust his word. Is he now the front runner to win?
No. And I still don't like the move. So now I'm being forced to unwind what I just said here. But I have figured out exactly who Cliff's patterning his game after most similarly, and it's a good friend of mine and someone who played their season as smartly as they possibly could, and they did as well as they could with the circumstances, and then never realistically made the big move or had a chance of winning. He reminds me a lot of how Adam Pock played his season. And a lot of people did not love Adam's gameplay because he never went for it at any point. But what Adam figured out was being an asset to the majority kept him safe, whereas everyone who was going after the power players were being sent home. So while his fellow newbies, you know, were the first four out on his season, he ultimately made it to the final three. And I see a similar trajectory for Cliff, where he's very well liked, very well trusted. And why shouldn't he be? He did their bidding for them and continues to do so. He is not calling any shots. So yes, he is making himself well positioned. Yes, he is not going home, but everyone knows if they sit next to Cliff at the end, they're going to lose. The only way he could possibly get there is by pulling himself there, and he's not going to be able to do that. So I do think that he is going to finish fifth, fourth, third, which is great. I love that he's experiencing the whole thing, and he is absolutely making the most of his opportunities. But ultimately, is he going to win? Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. So Eric, we also have from your sister, Kelly Hogg.
Whoa.
Your fellow offspring of Cliff. Kelly
Hogg.
Could
there be a future podcast with sis, my dad, myself, and you?
Sis? Okay, so sis.
So that's Kelly Hogg.
Yes.
And then sis.
Yes.
And then Cliff will be our dad. And I guess Pat, potentially, who was his daughter for a while. And then, I don't know, it's a mess. Okay. There's a lot of familial ties here.
I think that the Cliff and Kelly Hogg sounds like the low bar.
yeah, that sounds like where we're headed here. Sis, I'm sad to say, Sis is probably going to be tough to book for next summer. Although I would take her analysis
any
day.
This is not my first rodeo, but this is like, Kat is the kind of person where her being on a podcast, it would really have to be like the scheduling would change like 9 times.
Oh, she'll send you to her manager.
Send me to the manager. You know, like, am I getting paid for this? But the idea of being on a podcast with other alumni from the season would be, I think, a turnoff. And I think, Sis, I think you'd spend a lot of time trying to explain what a podcast was. Like, am I in a pod?
Let alone who you are.
Yeah. Right. Do I have to put a cast on? Like, can people smell me on a podcast?
I would absolutely love for her to have her own show next summer.
Yeah.
Just keep it in mind. Keep it.
She lives
in your
Rolodex. She lives in, a couple towns away, Sis.
Yeah. It's like you can dust off deep thoughts with Sis.
Yeah. Okay. So then
Sorry. I totally got us derailed there. My apologies.
Kelly Hogg wants to know, was Kat's dramatic OTEV moment an oof or a foo? Did it, or a woof, did it really deserve the intense music and all that? Okay. So Kelly Hogg wants to know, was that called for?
First of all, my apologies for baby Dino the dog.
Yeah, what's going on over there? Are you getting like a delivery?
I don't know. He seems suddenly outraged. He's looking at me. He looks very annoyed, but I'm not sure what has set him off. He just woke up from a nap. Normally when I'm hold on a second. Let me try and just actually fix this one sec. Sorry about that. Big time oof. I this was totally unnecessary. Don't understand why they were making this like this glamorized moment for her and this whole emotional thing. It's not about you, Kat, right? why? What is this? I didn't get the segment at all. And all the talks like, what was she so sorry about? Why is this? It was like, oh man, so, such bad acting. She went to the Tommy School of Acting for that one. I don't know
if it was acting though. It sounded like the live feed update the day after, it sounded like she really did like spear tackle Cliff and hurt him. But for whatever reason, I think that they wanted to protect Kat on the show and not show her hurting Cliff. But then they just made it like that. This was like, Cliff, like, it's okay. Go on without me. It's Big Brother.
Presented was like the time Janelle supposedly beat up James Ryan and then barely grazed him. So it's very weird from an edit standpoint. If we're going to go with the assumption that she really was violent about it, then it's even more bizarre. That they gave her this wonderful edit about it. And, as Jackson will tell you, only one person gets the confetti, so otherwise it wasn't really that big of a drama. And I must say, I really did not enjoy Kat's final week in the house as she got more comfortable or maybe more up against it. And she's like trash talking everyone. And she's trying to be dishonest in her Julie interviews. Like, she started off for me like Jen Johnson's good twin. She was like the happy version of that type of like, I don't know where she's coming from, but I like that she's from her own planet type of character. Mm-hmm. But it started to really feel like calculated shtick to me. It felt like she was doing like an act. And to me, the best reality TV contestants are the most authentic ones,
right?
Who are undeniably themselves.
Undeniably. That's why we're Sis stands, because Sis is not doing a character.
You're getting pure 100% grade A Sis at all times, right? There is nothing fake about Sis.
You and can't it really put just a deodorant started on it. That's what we like. Nothing artificial.
Oh, it's
the real tea. Not the real flat tummy tea from Kat.
We can only, they're going to be in a real showdown for who can get that deal first.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. Kat started getting very inauthentic. I thought it was a very fake. I mean, let's just go with the assumption that she actually was a little aggressive and did hurt him. Well, you know what? You should feel badly about that. That's unnecessary. But once you've done it, it's like, the solution would have been don't hurt him in the first place. That would have been where I would have gone with it if I were her.
They were fighting for the veto. But, you know, she didn't do anything malicious. So, you know, they're both trying to get the rope at the same time. It was an accident.
Right. So then just be like, sorry, man, I didn't mean anything by it. You know, that would have been better. It certainly didn't need this, hero music. I mean, it's like Jackson came back from the war.
It's a TV show. They got to do with what they can. But I know I really am more and more. I like this, that me and you out here, we started out this cis standing at the bottom. We're buying on the ground floor.
I agree. Remember this day.
Yes,
I'm not against starting a fan page or some sort. I will be a member. And I mean, there's a pretty good possibility that Sis is going to be the winner of this show. You do realize that, right?
Non-zero chance.
No one else has talked themselves into this yet. But keep in mind, the rightful theoretical winner from the fan perspective did not win the last two seasons. The person sitting next to them won the past two seasons. And who has a better chance to be sitting next to the rightful winner than Sis? So it really depends on how someone drags her, because if a Nick or a Tommy or a Holly stab enough people along the way, or get a little bit vicious, or there are lines drawn in the sand and she is just dodoing around laying eggs everywhere, don't be surprised if she gets some votes. You know, the fans have a different perspective than the people inside of the house. They're friends with her. They don't see her as, you know, she's loyal to them. She's never done anything to them. The fact that she's not a good game player, that's a good thing to them. They're not taking that personally in the way that the fans are. So not only is she a superstar TV character, but, you know, I'm not saying she's going to win. I'm just saying I could get myself there if I talk myself into this.
Eric, so the other thing I like about standing Sis is, how much would Sis not like us?
Oh, for sure. Really hate us. Would not get our sense of humor like whatsoever. Like, I'm the ultimate try hard. We're old enough to quite literally be her fathers.
Yeah, oh, yeah. She'd hate us so much.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Smell nice.
Okay.
All right. Are her ops for sure.
For sure. Okay. And then Eric, just to go back to Kat, one of the moments that I haven't gotten a chance to talk about was, so Kat came out of the house, and there's been a lot of talk about Kat's exit interview and how disingenuous Kat was during her exit interview, but I think it has gone somewhat underreported. Did you happen to catch Julie Chen's chair during her interview with Kat?
So I did not at the time, but I did see this on Twitter afterwards, and then I just couldn't take my eyes off of it.
It's pretty amazing. So this is a moment where that Julie Chen is waiting for Julie Chen Moonves, I'm sorry, is waiting for Kat to come out of the house to do their interview. And I don't know if somebody on the set intentionally gave Julie Chen a defective chair, or it snaps under the, you know, 110-pound weight of Julie Chen. But Moonves, here is Julie Chen reacting to the chair snapping.
You're back down.
Whoa, that's wild.
Whoa.
Yeah, not since going back to our favorite Big Brother Celebrity 2, when Julie Chen gave us our Joey Lawrence impression.
Ah, there we go.
Whoa.
She is, yeah, or Big Brother 1, when she found out about some of the shocking amenities. She went full, whoa, that's
wild.
Yeah, that was 20 years ago.
She has a long history of the whoa on the show.
Yeah, so so many different Julie Chen Moonves woes over the years. But yeah, the chair snapped in half. You're going to watch that if you haven't seen it yet. But all right, let's talk about Christy. Christy, we talked about how she's probably going out of the house. But last night, we didn't see a ton of strategy talk from her. We did see her talking, telling the story about her, how her and Tommy live in such close proximity to one another. And we have some questions about that. Survivor Rock Paper Scissors wants to know, how likely is it that highway exit numbers were organically brought up in the discussion in the house? Do you know how many exits you live from each other?
Yeah, what was she doing? Where what was going on here? I mean, is it that she's just given up? Is she getting sloppy? This is ridiculous. I mean, I was just waiting for her to start name checking, you know, oh man, and then we went to that concert together, and then there was the time we went bra shopping, and you know, back in middle school, and we went to the school store together, and I mean, this was ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't know if she's just losing it. Tommy was not taking it well.
Christy, are you forgetting that we don't want anyone else to know that we know each other? Just stop talking, please!
Christy, we don't tell everybody how many exits to my house! On the interstate!
It was the level of detail is what made it just so amazing. It's like, you know, and then you turn right and then it's about 2.2 miles. That's when you pass by the CVS and it's like, whoa, lady, what is going on? And I thought Tommy had a real interesting episode because from a gameplay viewer's standpoint, I was like, go Tommy. I love that he is swearing off, you know, it's like, hey, listen, if I need to let go of Christy or one of my girls this week, so be it. That was the absolute right attitude to have from a game standpoint. But does he forget who he's dealing with here? This is now going to be someone he has in his life for the rest of his life. Do you think that Christy's going to appreciate this episode when she goes back and watches Tommy, who's talking about like, hey, listen, I think I'm going to have to cut ties. I think it's over. It's a sinking ship. She's not going to like that.
Yeah. What do you think the relationship's going to be like after the season, Eric? Because now this is the aunt's ex-girlfriend. I mean, is it possible that Big Brother 21 rekindles that relationship?
So I was thinking this as well. I don't know the exact details surrounding the relationship, but I believe she's made comments to the effect that it was her fault that Christy's fault that the relationship ended. So I actually do see this as an attempted rekindling where maybe she becomes obsessed with the aunt again, but the aunt is still not having it. But I do think this is going to be in a chapter that will be revisited after
also
the show. Yes.
A big age difference also from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, this has to be, I mean, think about this from the aunt's perspective. It's got to be weird enough watching your ex or watching your nephew, but if you're trying to root your nephew on, but being forced to watch your ex and now they're aligned, I mean, that is a real mind F right there. She's probably not enjoying this very much.
Let's go out to Tommy's aunt for comment on Big Brother 21. Tommy's aunt, how have you reacted to this situation?
Are you kidding me? This is bizarre. My ex and my nephew are in the Big Brother house. It's like the worst punishment ever for me.
I can imagine. I can imagine. How surreal that must be.
There's team for you on Team Sis, Tommy's aunt, if you're looking for someone else to get on board with.
I mean, it's just like in that movie, The Godfather, when they said, every time I think I'm out, they keep pulling me back in. I can't cut the cord.
What if Nick ends up flirting with Tommy's aunt after this?
No, and that's the weirdest thing about everything. That's my therapist. He lives 17 exits away.
Yo, that seemed familiar.
She's gonna need him after this. What a tangled web. Yeah. Yeah, the interpersonal dynamics of BB21, it's really, really getting messy. Yeah, just ask Orwell.
Yeah. Okay. What else do I have for you today, Eric? I've got some random questions. This is one for from Slash Kevin wants to know, do you think that the twist for BB22 should be instant eviction for anybody who mentions the word manifest? Should that be an instant eviction?
Yeah, it does seem to be coming up a lot the last couple of seasons. You know, it seems like it's the version 2.0 of, well, whatever happens, happens, you know, because God is controlling it. I think it's like the new agey 2019 Instagram version of that. You know, it's the way that you can bring comfort to yourself if things are not going well, because it's just the will of the universe, you know, so it's all good. It's all good. Whatever happens, it's all part of the plan. So we are hearing that a lot, but I'm gonna say no. We will probably see another manifester in the house next summer.
Not a manifestee. Okay, then we have a voicemail from one of our listeners, Claire. Eric, do you remember Claire? She is the woman who was hit by a car while listening to Robin to Keep Anita podcast.
I do, and I appreciate her fandom, but I actually stay awake at night worrying sometimes. You put out a lot of podcasts, Rob, and if it's distracting her on these runs, I just hope she's being careful out there.
Yeah. Look, it can be very distracting to listen to podcasts. And I know I was listening. I was watching Australian Survivor this morning, and I had Bluetooth headphones on, and I could only hear what was going on in Survivor. And I ended up hitting one of my sons in the head with a barbell. So it can be very distracting.
You see? That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, what you got for us?
Here's what Claire had to say. Okay.
Hey, Rob and Eric, this is Claire. I just found out the days are getting shorter, so I'm going to have to make this quick. Would you rather fight a giant pigeon one time and get covered in poop by it? Or do you like the relationship you have with bird poop now?
Eric, so much bird poop going on Big Brother. Why is Big Brother so obsessed with bird poop?
First of all, apologies for baby Dino the dog. I feel like I've gone full Jessica Graff here. You know, I'm going to start doing the dishes next with all this dog barking in the background. But they do definitely seem like they've gone full poop this season, right? It's always been something they've loved. They've taken it next level. I'm not going to lie. I enjoy a good poop joke. I mean, as much as the next guy.
Sure.
So I like my current relationship with poop because it's a strong one. It brings me a lot of joy and laughter. But I will say that about a decade ago, I was having one of the worst days imaginable. And I was working on a huge project. And it was like one of these deals where, you know, the file didn't save properly and you didn't know if it could be recovered. So I had to bring it to, you know, the geek squad, and they were trying to fix this for me. And I had a deadline and I was losing hours as they tried to like get the file back and all this stuff. And as I was standing outside on the street waiting for this transaction to finish, I got pooped on.
Oh, man.
And that's what everyone told me, but it was not the time for it, you know? Yeah. So I will say, it can be a harrowing experience at times, but I am not thinking that encountering the giant pigeon with giant bird poop is going to be good. You know, you can just sort of wash off a regular size pigeon poop, but you don't want to mess with the big one. So I'm going to go with my relationship with pigeons.
Okay. Yeah,
so only fair.
All right. Then I have one other voicemail for you, Eric. And this is more in the category of, bizarre. So hang in there.
All right, we're back here on the Mike Francis program here with Rob Cisnino and Eric Stein here on WFAN. Here we go. We got Jack in Nassau. Jack, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. First time, long time. I was wondering, is after this week with that preposterous HOH theatrics, What do we think? Is Tommy officially high mommy status? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Hi, Missouri.
You know, I was thinking about this recently. So a lot of my interactions with Frankie used to come through his best friend. Frankie himself, he's up on that higher echelon. You know, we'd often be invited to his apartment or events through the friend. And I realized, you know what? I haven't heard from Frankie or this friend in quite some time. And I was trying to figure out why that may be. And then I realized it's probably because I've spent, you know, several dozen podcasts making fun of him. Oh. He probably just thought he'd stop inviting
me. Don't flatter yourself. No. Okay. All right.
I do think he's gone full high mommy. I mean,
you're talking about the content of the question.
Right. Let's not bury the lead here.
In which it was delivered. All right. So what do you think about the fake Mike Francesa sports talk phone in?
So, and yes, an Australian man as a commercial for a sports thing, but without an impersonation of Francesa himself.
I think that was an impression. Let me listen.
All right, we're back here on the Mike Francesa program here with Rob Cicinino and Eric Stein here on WFAN. Here we go. We got Jack in Nassau. Jack, what's going on?
Hey, Mike. First time, long time. I was
also
wondering,
who's that supposed to be?
I think that's the caller. That might be the caller voice.
The caller voice is like your voice for the fans
Kermit the Frog.
And then the first voice sounds like an Australian man.
Francesa.
As Francesa, right. Okay. Right. Then it's a sports show. And concerning headspace on that one. I think they may have gone to who's the woman who always used to call us from the dentist? They may have gone to the dentist and got Novocained up with her. That was bizarre, truly bizarre.
Very bizarre.
And also, then all that just to get to what really was just a pretty straightforward question.
Yeah. I've also got a voicemail from Liam. I have not listened to it. So let's can go either way.
Roll the dice, yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's Liam.
Hey, Rob and Eric. First time, long time. I just want to know, how much money would you guys pay for a cameo from the alien from Jack's Punishment? Thank you.
Oh, Big Dick Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did anyone send you the clips of Big Dick Johnson's performances? By the way, I heard you guys speculating in the night or two afterwards as to whether or not I was making this up. I'll send you some. He's danced with The Rock. He's danced with Stone Cold. He's got plenty of good footage in there. Yeah. And it was all in a skimpy Speedos type of situation and a bow tie. So I would pay zero for it because he was my actual coworker.
Okay.
So I could just email him or something along those lines. Not my best friend or anything. But I will actually say, I think forget the cameos. The cameos are last summer. Although I did hear Sam's, and I must say he's doing the Lord's work.
Yes.
He's firing on all cylinders. I'm so excited. I think I have not spoken to Sam. I have no idea if he knows who I am. But the mere thought of hanging out with him and Johnny Mac together in Pennsylvania has me ready to take the train ride.
Before you cancel a cameo, we have a cameo question. We had a segue to go to cameo. So
Fair enough. I would just say that I think that the real money to be made after the season is Nicole to sell individualized, personalized, hand-done drawings of her Pegasus for the fans.
Yes.
I feel like she could make a killing on that.
On the most recent RJP B&B, Mike and Liana and Frail Mary Kwiatkowski did a great job of going through Sam's tweets and then also his cameos. Everybody should go and buy cameos from Sam Smith because you get gems like these.
Wendy! Hey, I heard it's your birthday coming up August 26th. Woo! Summer birthdays are the best. And I only know that because I have a crappy winter birthday. Jealous of you. Happy birthday. No, I'll let you know. Let me sing a song of my people to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Wendy. Happy birthday to you. No. Said that.
Holy moly.
Holy moly. So much there. So much meat on the bone there. Now, is Sam taking cameo lessons from Frankie Grande? that was very, you know.
I think that may have even been the rendition that we heard Frankie sing once upon a time.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Megan. Happy birthday to you. Hi, Megan. Have a very, very happy 18th birthday. Oh, my God. Shine bright like a Frankie. When people throw shade, shine brighter. And remember, go Grande.
Send it.
Or go home today.
What if, like, Sam, like a Scooby-Doo episode, like he removed the mask of his own face and it was just Frankie living inside of a trucker's body?
Yeah. By the way, Frankie cameos up to $125. I feel like they were not that expensive last summer.
Oh, he's on a Nickelodeon show now.
Yeah, they've gone up.
Yeah, he's moving up in the world. Yeah, for sure. No, Sam is killing it out there, I must say. And I had the great fortune of meeting some of the cast of Love Island just under a week ago. And they said, oh, what advice do you have for us as someone who's been around the block here with this? And I told them, sell everything that you can, every bathing suit, every prop, and they said, oh, should we be selective about, you know, should we, what appearances we do? I said, no, if they offer you even so much as a $50 bar tab, go and enjoy it, right? Send yourself right to that appearance. So I am all in on Sam's t-shirts, Sam's cameos, good for him. Maximize it while you can. And this is, you know, hey, listen, if you're not going to win, especially if you have a family and kids, he went out in the right spot. This man does not need to sit in the jury house for 8 weeks.
Right.
Go home, have fun with it, and monetize it. Good for him.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Good. So just speaking of cameo, so we got a tweet from the great John Tinkham, one of our ride or dies. He says, I advise you to watch Cato's newest cameo where he's at a casino. It may be his finest work. All right. So John Tinkham has sent us a link to a Cato Kalin cameo that he did from a casino. Are you ready to hear Cato from the casino?
Oh, but of course.
It's like a tongue twister. Cato in the casino. Cato in the casino. Cato in the casino. All right, here we go. This is for Late Night Sports Twitter.
Yo, hey, Late Night Sprawls, Twitter, Kinks, Thread, it's the Twitter spread, booked by Fixer. Hey, Fixer, I just did a gig, some casino. Yeah, me, Whalepack is on the Devil's Cut. Fixer on the Woodford Reserve. Oh, good stuff. And New York City to Mick, proper 12 deep in the UFC. So Miss Lundquist, Tom.
Is he speaking English?
Absolutely incoherent. Drunk beyond all recognition. The only thing I could make out was something about whiskey.
Let's see where it goes.
Holy fib hole, Tom. Look out, boy, y'all. Smokey is the O for Nickler. Yeah, O K for Nicky. Sounds like Milwaukee. Pops, bonks, and hijinks.
I need like the translation.
I feel like what happened here is he like needed an extra $50 at the casino, was absolutely wrecked out of his mind, and was like, boy, I better respond to one of these things here so I can go keep my night going. And then tried to do like his usual thing, but was off. Also, he's getting paid appearances at casinos, at UFC events. Like, what is happening here? And it's uncanny to me how this man cannot be shut off. And I know I've been accused of this at times, then probably Sam and Frankie have as well, that we can be a little on fire, doing a little bit of a routine. But I mean, Cato is like, this man is 60 years old. He needs to calm down, right? What is happening? It's just it's insane. I'm concerned for him now.
I don't know. I don't know. That's I'm just there's no words for Cato, for cameo, for Frankie Grande and Sam. But I love it, but I'm also horrified.
Yeah. I love them all. Honestly.
I love it. OK, Eric. And then we have one last question. And it's not something that I, was looking to do. But because this was a request from a birthday boy, let me go ahead and read this from at a Mike Bloom type, who I believe is 30 today.
Happy birthday, Mike.
As a birthday present, can you please dissect this? And it's an Instagram post from one at Paul Calafiore _. Okay. verified on Twitter. And it's a picture of the great Paul Calafiore, who you and I have done, just as much to keep his name out there as anybody else.
Very much so. In fact, I was thinking that earlier about how he's relaying to people, that I'm on his hit list. If he really went back and listened to this, which we know he most certainly does not, he would know that we never heckled him. In fact, we actually celebrated how iconic he was repeatedly. This is the way there's never been a cross word uttered about this man. We love him. In fact, I got a text recently from a past house guest who was talking about how amazing it is that I have now actually taken on "stay crushing it" and "keep feeding the positive" as if they were my own catchphrases. How they've like transitioned onto me seamlessly. But once upon a time, credit where credit's due. I mean, stay this man he was way before me on that train.
Yeah. Okay. So Paul Calafiore, that he is shirtless with a arm behind the head, and so the post is, "Hello, my naughty little monsters, long time no talk, so fill me in ... what's the naughtiest thing you've done since I've been gone? Don't be shy. Okay, maybe I want to know the coolest place you've been to. # naughty, # travel."
What?
Okay.
What is this?
That's how you get the conversation started.
But what? Okay. Is there some sort of brand that naughty that we don't know? Because I don't see the correlation between naughty and travel. That's where it lost me.
It looks like he's in the UK. So I think that's part of his brand now is also that he's into the 50 Shades kind of stuff. He's your bad boy's bad boy.
I did see a post shared a few times about that, something to do with his dungeon or S&M or something along those lines. I'm curious, how do you think his brother Cody feels about all of this?
Yeah, I don't think that Cody has a dungeon. I don't think so.
No, he does not. No. Cody.
Yeah. So.
No, Cody is more likely to appear as Kanicki in a regional theater production of Grease sometime soon than have a dungeon. He is a very all-American, he's a square or a greaser or whatever he was back from the 50s.
The Calafiore brothers are very much like a classic literary figures of like the one all-American brother and then the other one who's gone to the dark side.
Maybe they should do like a vaudeville act, like the Flying Calafiores together. Together on stage.
That'd be good.
With their shirts off.
So far, the responses are one person, free follows for followers, said, "Do you see how much Kat likes you?" And then another person said, and then we had some more. Somebody says, "I tied someone's hands behind their back and sat on their..." All right, we don't need to get into this.
Yikes. I mean,
NSFW.
How do you think that this would go if I posted this? If I went topless?
Yeah. Well,
hey, my naughty little, you want to fill a stein with me and get naughty?
Okay. But here's the other thing. So he asked two different questions. So some people are answering the what's the naughtiest thing you've done, and then what's the where have you traveled to? So then you also have some of the answers are Las Vegas to see Aerosmith, but I don't know which question that they're answering.
Right. It's like whips, chains, Guatemala.
Yeah.
Rhode Island.
Yeah. Somebody else said ordered Popeyes and Arby's at a travel station for myself.
Well, that's a little naughty.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So there you go. So that's for Mike Bloom. For us. So if we die for that one, Mike Bloom, that's on your head.
Yeah, that's right. I hope it was worth it. Happy birthday, Mike. Yeah. The birthday you always remember. Good you God. Killed your friends.
That's Paulie Calafiore's music. He's got the whips and chains. He's strangling Rob.
What is good?
Oh, no.
Can you imagine you're live on stage? You're facing the audience, and from behind you, you hear... Mm-hmm. My man, I'm out of there.
You run for it. What's his finishing move?
Well, I mean, considering that he's going after us specifically, it really won't take much.
I remember all my ride or dies from the beginning. I see who flip flops. I see who comes back when the times are good. I see who leaves when the times are bad.
Is it the ride and die? Is that the
ride then die?
Ride then die.
Yeah, I think that could be like a power bomb. But I also see it like a
power bomb. Power bomb. Eric just gone through the floor.
An old school head claw. The stay crushing it, of course. It's like some sort of vice-like move where he just like squeezes the life out of you.
Good God, make him stop.
He also kind of feels like a high flyer of some sort, right?
Yeah. You know? So
basically, if he so much as like flicked us in the head, we'd be dead. So it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. We definitely do not want to get flicked in the head.
You know, and it's just sorry to interrupt you, but
flick and flick.
I really think that since we've talked about the manifest and everyone's always thinking about the scenario, the joke is probably going to be on me. After I've long sworn off the fact that I would ever be on a returning season and there would never be an All-Stars, what's going to really happen is I'm going to get the call. I'm going to feel really good about it. I'm going to have like a couple of friends in there with me. I'm going to walk through the door and Paulie, Cody, Derek, and Frankie are going to be standing there together as an alliance. And I'm just going to self-evict. Right. He's waving. This guy's got a pie for me. It's going to be. That's really would be the universe teaching me a lesson.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's been a fun ride.
Yeah. It's a ride or die specifically. And die.
Yeah. Maybe Cliff will have your back.
Oh, I could just imagine the motley crew I'd have to assemble.
Yeah,
I would happily be a member of Cliff's Angels 2.0. I think that would be a best case scenario for me by far. Least he's like on a season in the last decade, you know.
Yeah.
So somehow I don't think Reagan and Libra are going to be there for me to align with. You know, gonna have to get someone who's been on the show recently.
Okay. All right. Eric Stein, great job. I think that this is a longest summer of Stein of the season.
Oh, yeah. This is a throwback. I mean, it's because we haven't done one in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, we were a lot pent up. All right. So very excited to have been back with you, Eric. We'll do it again in 2 weeks. How's that timing going to work out with our live show coming out? It's the week before the live show?
I actually think
it's
perfectly. No, yeah. I think it splits the difference.
Okay, good. So are we doing one the week of the live show?
We're going to have to see how it goes, okay. Right? You know, I think the summer of Stein 18, you know, it burned bright and then burnt out quickly. Yes. You know, people are already off this bandwagon. So we'll have to see where it lands.
I think we'll be fine. If we did one the week of the second Labor Day week, we'll be back with one. And then we'll have the live show. And then I think it might be good. And like we'll have stories from the live show to talk about it in the following week.
Yeah, if we're still alive after the live show.
And then the following week is the finale. So I don't know if necessarily we'll figure it out. We'll see how it
goes. Right. I'm here for all of it. I'm going to keep feeding the positive. I do think we're on a fun trajectory. I know we covered when I did the episode recap. But I mean, I think more than ever, there's a bunch of potential winners in there. So I think it's going to be a fun ride or ride and die. I'm here for all of it.
All right. Of course, you could follow Eric Stein tweets on Twitter for all that. And Dino the dog on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. He's kind of he's leveled off. He's plateaued without his video appearances. You know, he stopped posting. He doesn't have the heat that he had last summer. And that's probably why he's barking to interrupt the podcast. He's probably pissed off.
Look at the airtime.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Of course, we've got a lot more coming up this week. Recaps on Wednesday and Thursday. I have a Talking with T-Bird with Roger Bingham up. By the way, if you like this kind of nonsense, be sure to check out Robin and Kiva Need a Podcast, where Uncle Kiwi and I went off on the Oregon Trail. Eric, you have any fond memories of playing the Oregon Trail?
Oh, yeah. My fondest memory of the trail is that I had a You Have Died of Dysentery shirt when I was in the Big Brother house, right? And I sold that shirt for about $500, and then I went online and repurchased it for $15. So that was my fondest memory from the trail.
Yes, you flipped it.
Yep. Great game. Great game. Really excited to dive into that podcast. It made my wheels start spinning. If perhaps I can dust off my gumshoe attire and we could go searching for the ever elusive Carmen Sandiego podcasts.
Well, I would like that. Let's sub out your what you have on the wheel for going to look for Carmen Sandiego.
Where is Carmen? Where is she? We could probably get Rockapella.
Yeah. Let's get, you know, conference in Akiva right after this. But I think that would you be up for that? Would you be up for a switch?
Yeah, no, please. I don't actually even know anything about infomercials. Not that everyone listening knows what we're talking about, but I don't even know the origin of why that's my topic.
We were just like, hey, okay, if Eric wants to do it, read the phone book, we're in. But yeah, I think let's swap that in for, we'll work on that on the next Renap episode. All right. So be sure to check that out in our podcast feed. Also, I'm going to be on The Bachelor in Paradise. Rob, is that one of your shows, Eric?
It is, and I actually love it. I think it's so much fun. But as we were talking about right before we started recording, I was traveling last week, and it's a good thing when your favorite shows are 2 hours long, unless you're out of town, because 8 hours is a lot of Bachelor in Paradise to catch up on. And I like, it's like, where do you even begin? You know, it's like, I'm like at 3 hours into 8 hours of the show. It's like, oh man, but I do like it. I think you'll enjoy it. And I think you'll have a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah. And then I'm also going to be on these Australian Survivor wrap up this week. So I have a ton of reality TV shows that I need to watch in the next 48 hours. All right. So of course, all this made possible by the patrons of Rob's Podcast. Find out more about what we're doing behind the scenes at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Eric, thanks again. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
When I wake up in the morning and I'm feeling dread and loathing, there's a pounding in my weirdly shaped head. By the time I check my Twitter and start feeling sad and bitter, I regret my day already. Wish I'd stayed in bed.